perspective, I think back 6 years ago, Cameron was in sixth grade. He's going to be a senior this year. I was 30. Other people were 6 years younger. We were not in this building. We were actually having church in Bucky's basement, which was very cozy and fun. So a lot has changed in the 6 years since we did this series, so it's kind of fun to revisit it. Would you read with me the 23rd Psalm? The Lord is my shepherd, I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. Of all the places, I'm sure that that's extremely familiar psalm to you. It's quoted a lot. Where do you think you've heard this psalm quoted the most? Yeah, totally. This is like the number one psalm quoted at funerals. And you're like, well, why is it so popular at funerals? Well, first, it's pretty. It's so pretty. It's so poetic. And this psalm is full of such peace and tranquility and care. And it's those things in the midst of dark times. So this psalm gives hope for the future. It tells us that God's going to be with us forever. Even in your present time, he's with you, but he's going to be with you forever. It's exactly the type of words you want to hear when you attend a funeral. That's why it's not really quoted at bachelor parties, you know. They usually don't quote it at proms. They usually don't quote it at carnivals, right? Or not even at weddings. But this is solely usually during times when people are mourning and they want peace. Now, the purpose of psalms are very clear. The purpose of a psalm is to provide poetry for the expression of praise, worship, and confession. That's a purpose of a psalm, to provide those things. Poetry for the expression of praise, worship, and confession. And God is the recipient of all of these expressions. So some psalms are cries for help. Some psalms are just full of exploding praise for the help that God has given. Some psalms are full of praise for the provisions God has supplied. Or some of them are just full of praise because he's just God. And the writer's overwhelmed at who God is. Some psalms are just complaints, you know, woe is me's. Some psalms are apologies for screwing up, confessions. And most of the psalms, if not all the psalms, they have a lot of feelings. And these feelings are authentic and genuine. They're honest feelings and expressions that God can handle. And it's usually during a time in the writer's life, whether it's super positive or super negative or super convicting or super frightening. Now the Psalms, they weren't intended to be narrations of a historical events, but often the Psalms parallel the life of the author. Right? So the Psalms are written during times when this is going on, and they tend to parallel other parts in Scripture. It's a lot like Taylor Swift, right? Every time Taylor Swift breaks up with another boyfriend, she writes a song describing the relationship and how she's feeling about it, right? So here, remember Werewolf from Twilight? So the song she wrote about him was Back to December. So that was her song for him. And the song We're Never Getting Back Together was about this guy, Jake. All right. And the song Dear John was about John Mayer. And Better Than Revenge was about Joe Jonas. And for each of her ending tragic relationships, she writes a song narrating her dating life. Now, the Psalms are like that, except they are inspired by God, and they are an expression of praise, worship, and confession to God. So it's like Taylor Swift's songs, but really has nothing to do with them, all right? So we're all on the same page. What's that? Oh, I'm going to put it up right now. So here is one of David's Psalms. What time do you think is going on? What is going on in his life at this time? I come to you for protection, O Lord my God. Save me from my persecutors. Rescue me. If you don't, they will maul me like a lion, tearing me to pieces with no one to rescue me. It's not a good time. right, when he writes this psalm. It's not a good time in his life. He is actually running away from King Saul, who wants to kill him. What time of his life was this? Oh God, favor me because of your loving kindness. Take away my wrongdoing because of the greatness of your loving pity. Wash me inside out from my wrongdoing and make me clean from my sin. Well, this is paralleling a time when he had an adulterous relationship with Bathsheba, when he actually puts Bathsheba's husband on the front line in battle and has him killed. Okay. So we can relate to the Psalms, maybe not like that, right? But we can relate to the Psalms because they're genuine and they're harsh and they're honest, and it's not always easy to proclaim these things. So it makes sense that people turn to Psalms like Psalm 23 in times of struggle, sadness, and distress. So when was Psalm 23 written? Most likely this psalm was written during the time King Saul was after David. King Saul was jealous of David because God had already anointed that David was going to be the next king. And Saul did not want that. He wanted to be the forever king of Israel to the day he died. And he was going to be replaced on the throne. This made him furious. So he wanted David killed. So the most powerful man in the nation, the king, is going after David. Talk about a stressful time. Israel is not that big. It's like the size of New Jersey. So David is on the run. He has very little resources in a small country, and the most powerful man on earth is going after him. So this is the time in which he writes the Psalm 23. So he begins this way. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. This was a historical part in my life where the most powerful man in the world is chasing me down to kill me. This would not be how I would start off my psalm. My psalm would be more like this. Help. Seriously, help. Right? Be honest. You're in a time of stress. You're in a time of sheer chaos. You're sure you do not know what's going to happen. And David writes, the Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I want. His feelings were extremely genuine at that time. The Lord is my shepherd, I have all that I need. And that's the only part we're going to do today of Psalm 23. We're going to tackle verse by verse through this series. So why does David call the Lord his shepherd? Part of a job of a preacher, a writer, a teacher is to bring your own knowledge and your own life experiences to your lessons, because you understand, one, that's what you understand, and two, you kind of understand what your audience would understand and relate to. So your audience may not relate to stories if they really don't know about the subject. But back in Bible times, they knew about this type of subject, and David most certainly knew about it. For instance, when Corey comes home from work to tell me about his day or a problem he had at work, he first has to give me some background information on the topic in order for me to fully understand what the problem was at work or why the day was so exciting. So if he needs to explain to me that someone that he works with didn't know what a web server is, he first has to explain to me what a web server is, so I know what a web server is, so I understand if he is dismayed by the situation or happy about the situation. I need to know some background. So David calls the Lord his shepherd. We need to know about sheep and shepherds in order to understand the magnitude of this proclamation. Now David, as I mentioned, this is his sweet spot of knowledge. David was a shepherd by trade. This is his occupation. So David left the sheep with another shepherd and set out early the next morning with the gifts as Jesse had directed him. This tells us that he was a shepherd. And in much of the Bible's terminology and teaching, it's couched in rural language, right? This is what they knew. They were dealing with outdoor subjects. The audience who was receiving these words at the time, they were rural people, right? They were nomadic folk, familiar with nature and outdoor life. Now, most of us come from an urban setting, right? You could say Chicago's an urban setting, but Park Ridge is an urban setting compared to this. Des Plaines is, Skokie is, Glenview is. It is nothing like what the hills and pastures of Israel would have been at the time. Extremely outdoors, extremely just a naturist setting. So knowing that, let's see where our congregation is regarding sheep and shepherding. Okay, we're going to take the official sheep survey. Okay, it's going to be given to the Northside Community Church on today, Sunday in July, by Reverend Carrie Mercer to Esquire Doctor. So here we go, all right? So I need you to think of this like ACT during Bible times, all right? Raise your hand if you've ever brushed a sheep's wool. Okay, a couple, all right? Raise your hand if you've ever sheared a sheep. All right? Rescued a sheep? Fed a sheep? Okay. Okay. We're taken up a level. Carried a sheep? Okay, very good. Protected a sheep? Helped heal a sheep that was wounded? Seen a sheep? Worn a wool sweater? Okay, saw somebody wearing a wool sweater. Fantastic, we're all on the same page. So some of you guys have done some of these things, or you've seen it or been to the zoo, but David had done all of this. He had tended to the care of many ewes, many lambs, and he knew exactly what a good shepherd had to do and take care of the sheep. He knew exactly what to do. Little known fact for you, sheep are completely dependent on a shepherd for provision, for guidance, and protection. Sheep need someone to take care of them all the time. They need to be led to places to eat. They need to be led to clean water, because if they're not, they will drink parasite water full of poop. They need to be helped up when they fall down. When they fall down, it's called casted, and if they aren't helped up, they will die. They need to be protected from predators. They have no defense mechanism. They have no fight in them. They need to be helped avoiding from cliffs. They will just tumble off a cliff. I mean, a good shepherd hardly sleeps. It's a 24/7 job making sure your sheep thrive, because they need total care and leading. Almost like taking care of an infant. Infants need 24/7 care. So David starts off the psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd." Think about what is he's proclaiming here with all the knowledge he knows. He is saying, "The Lord is my shepherd. I have an intimate, dependent relationship with the Lord." That is so beautiful once you really get what a shepherd does. David's like, "The Lord's my shepherd. I have an intimate, dependent relationship with him." The Hebrew for Lord, he is referring to Lord God of Israel, Jehovah, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And Jesus describes this intimate relationship perfectly in John 10. "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. A hired hand will run when he sees a wolf coming. He'll abandon the sheep because they don't belong to him, and he isn't their shepherd. And so the wolf attacks them and scatters the flock. The hired hand runs away because he's working only for the money and doesn't really care about the sheep. I'm the good shepherd. I know my own sheep and they know me, just as my Father knows me and I know the Father. So I sacrifice my life for the sheep." So not only does David proclaim his relationship with the Lord, he's proud of it. He's like boasting about it. "I'm proud of my shepherd. I'm proud of who my shepherd is." David's speaking as one of the sheep, and he speaks with such a strong sense of adoration and devotion, because David's delighted that the Lord's his shepherd. Because here's the thing about sheep, about shepherd and sheep relationship. The quality of life of the sheep depends on the quality of how the shepherd is. So if you're a horrible shepherd, there are horrible shepherds out there, and you deprive the sheep of their safety, and you're not caring, and you're harsh, and you're horrible, sheep will struggle and starve and have endless hardships and diseases. If you're a good shepherd, if you're gentle and kind and brave and selfless, you're going to be taken well care of by the shepherd. Big difference of who your shepherd is when you're a sheep. And David knows what kind of shepherd he has. He knows the character of God. He knows that he's fully taken care of. I'm going to read an excerpt from this book, A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23, is what we kind of based this series on 6 years ago. And I think the author just beautifully talks about the character of his shepherd. This is from page 18. "So if the Lord is my shepherd, I should know something of his character and understand something of his ability. To meditate on this, I frequently go out at night to walk alone under the stars and remind myself of his majesty and might. Looking up at a star-studded sky, I remember that at least 250 million times 250 million such bodies, each larger than our sun, one of the smallest of the stars, have been scattered across the vast spaces of the universe by his hand. I recall that the planet Earth, which is my temporary home for a few short years, is so minute a speck of matter in space that if it were possible to transport our most powerful telescope to our nearest neighbor star, Alpha Centauri, and look back this way, the Earth could not be seen, even with the aid of a powerful instrument. All this is a bit humbling. It drains the ego from a man and puts things in proper perspective. It makes me see myself as a mere mite of material in an enormous universe, yet the staggering fact remains that Christ, the creator of such an enormous universe of overwhelming magnitude, deigns to call himself my shepherd and invites me to consider myself his sheep, his special object of affection and attention. Who could better care for me? It's amazing, right? Who could better care for me? We have the best shepherd in the world. And what do we do as sheep? We screw up. All of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We have left God's path to follow our own. It's so true. We have this magnificent shepherd, and yet we all become stupid sheep that do stupid things and leave the shepherd to explore our own desires. And yet this verse goes on, yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. Our shepherd was so amazing that he was willing to give his life for us. Just like a shepherd would fight a wolf in a pasture to protect his sheep from being eaten alive. That's our Heavenly Father. It's amazing. So when we proclaim the Lord is my shepherd, we're saying I have an intimate, dependent relationship with the Lord, and I'm proud of who my shepherd is. We can understand why David is so excited about being part of God's flock. He knows what it takes to be a good shepherd, and he's eager to be under the shepherdness of our Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. Who else would I want to be my shepherd, right? Why wouldn't I want to be under his rule and his authority? It makes such sense. And many of us, we boast and proclaim, I have a relationship with the Lord. He's in charge of my life. He's my shepherd. But just like there are sheep that run away from the shepherd and don't want to be led in a certain direction or are stubborn, we think that there might be something better in a greener pasture. We think there might be something better over there. So we do the same thing with God that a sheep does with a shepherd. We proclaim it when it fits. The Lord is my shepherd. Until he asks me to do something I just don't want to do. The Lord is my shepherd. Until it doesn't fit my plans. The Lord is my shepherd. Until I'm feeling stretched and feel very uncomfortable. The Lord is my shepherd. Until something better comes up. The Lord is my shepherd. Until I get angry at him for something he allows to happen. The Lord is my shepherd. Until I'm betrayed by another Christian. The Lord is my shepherd. Until it becomes a little more difficult to follow him. We can't have it both ways. Either the Lord is our shepherd or he's not. Just like Jesus said in Matthew, no one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God, and in this case, money. So David, in the midst of struggle, proclaimed, I not only have an intimate relationship with the Lord, I am happy that he's in charge of my life. Can you proclaim that this morning and mean it? I have an intimate relationship with my shepherd, and I am so happy that he's in charge of my life. Can you say that with integrity? Part two, the Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. Are you content with God's care? If you can truly proclaim that he is your shepherd, then we will be genuinely content with his care. And it wasn't as if David had no worries. I gave you the context of this, right? But he's saying, even in this time, I have everything I need. And his life wasn't great. His life really wasn't even just okay. His life was scary and tiring and unpredictable. Life was not comfortable. It was not plush. And there was many unknowns. He had no idea what was going to happen. And you might sit here this morning and you might have many great unknowns in your life. You just don't know what tomorrow is going to bring, what next week is going to bring, what 3 weeks are going to bring next year. And you might be thinking to myself, maybe there's some greener pastures out there. Tried this whole Christianity thing, but maybe there's some greener pastures out there. Maybe there's something else for me. But David here, in the midst of the worst situation we can think of right now, says, nah, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. This word means I don't lack anything. It's not about material possessions. It's about I don't lack anything inside me. I don't lack anything inside me that doesn't bring me peace and trust and something I can depend on the Lord right now. He provides for my every need. Why? because he's a good shepherd. You know, for him, there's no greater reward. There's no deeper satisfaction. He likes his sheep being taken care of. He likes his sheep being fed and safe and flourishing under his care. So the question is, have you allowed God total management of your life? Because he's really good at it. He's really good at it. He's a really good shepherd. Have you allowed him to have total management of your life? Because here's the thing we often do. We listen to some of what God tells us to do and we follow it, but then we take some spontaneous leaps of our own. I'm just going to do this. I'm feeling it right now. I'm just going to do this. I haven't checked in with God. I'm actually feeling he doesn't want me to do it, but I'm going to do it. And then, or we cut corners. God wants me to do this, but I'm going to halfway do it. Or we allow sin to come into our relationships. Or we get lazy. Or we half obey. Or we half follow truth. And then all of a sudden, there's some consequences to our sin because that's what happens. And we're in trouble. Or we're hurt. Or we're upset. And we've been let down by someone we shouldn't have been really close to because that relationship wasn't godly. And we never really surrender total management over to him. We've been co-managing. God, you control this part, and I'm going to control this part. And then when something goes wrong, we don't really take ownership of it ourselves. We blame the other co-manager. God, you messed this up, not me. I know I kind of went my own way and did my own thing, but you're part of this too. And we start to blame God. Well, the good shepherd is always right. The good shepherd always has a bigger picture for his sheep. And if you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're his sheep. You become part of his family. He died for you, and he has accepted you into his family. And when that happens, you can't proclaim, "The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need." I'm going to read again from the book, A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. And as I read this, I want you to meditate on your relationship with the shepherd. Okay? I want you to think, can I boast that he's my shepherd? Do I boast that? The Lord's my shepherd. Are you allowing him to be in charge? Are you satisfied with his management? All right? Think about those things as I read from page 31. I am completely satisfied with his management in my life. Why? Because he is the sheepman to whom no trouble is too great as he cares for his flock. He is the rancher who is outstanding because of his fondness for sheep, who loves them for their own sake as well as his personal pleasure in them. He will, if necessary, be on the job 24 hours today to see that they are properly provided for in every detail. Above all, he is a very jealous of his name and high reputation as the Good Shepherd. He is the owner who delights in his flock. For him, there is no greater reward, no deeper satisfaction than of seeing his sheep contented, well-fed, safe, and flourishing under his care. This is indeed his very life. He gives all he has to it. He literally lays himself out for those who are his. He will go to no end of trouble and labor to supply them with the finest grazing, the richest pasturage, ample winter feed, and clean water. He will spare himself no pains to provide shelter from storms, protection from ruthless enemies, and the diseases and parasites to which sheep are susceptible. No wonder Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And again, I come that ye might have life, and that ye may have it more abundantly." That's our shepherd. That's who David was talking about here. When you hear words like that describing the shepherd, there's no reason we should ever want. Because that's how our shepherd wants to take care of us and provide for us. So in closing, in our verse today, the Lord is my shepherd. My first question is he your shepherd? Have you trusted him as your personal Savior? Is he your shepherd? And then the second question is, or the second verse is, I have everything I need. Do you? And if you don't, why? Why haven't you trusted the shepherd with everything you need? Because he said he'll provide it for you. Heavenly Father, thank you for this beautiful psalm. Thank you for inspiring David to write it. Thank you that even though we don't grow up around sheep, or we haven't grown up around sheep, or most of us haven't, that we can look at the scripture and look at the context and understand what a powerful phrasing that was, God. That you were David's shepherd, and there's no other person he wants in control of his life. Thanks for loving us and looking out for us. Thank you for willing to jump in and spare your life for us. Thank you, Father, for being patient with us when we continue to stumble around and look for different ways and better ways outside of you. Thank you for that gentle rod that knocks us back in place that says, no, this is where you need to be. Thank you for always having your eye on us. Thank you, Father, even in times of trouble and the unknown, and this was a scary time for David, that you gave him the peace that just doesn't make sense. Father, for anyone in this room today, maybe it's struggling with that. Maybe it is a difficult time. Maybe it is a time where there's a lot of unknowns. And maybe it feels kind of like maybe the shepherd doesn't have the eye on the sheep right now. Would you confirm that in your sheep's heart right now? That you do have it under control? That your eye is on that sheep? That you can provide everything that sheep needs, from every inner emotion to the deepest pain, God? That's who you are. You are the good shepherd. And we are so honored to be a part of your sheepfold. Thank you, Lord. Amen.